Well, good morning to each one. This morning, we also greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's a very significant thing. We desire to meet no other way than in the name of our Lord Jesus. We were so blessed when our brother stood here and took us through 2 John, and we receive from him, from the Lord, the counsel that he gave. But the measure of love in serving our Lord is to obey and to keep his commandments. I also thought of the scripture that says to us that by love we should serve one another. That's a beautiful picture of the fulfillment of love also, is serving one another. And so thank you, brother, for those beautiful thoughts, those beautiful insights. Sometimes 2 John is kind of overlooked, and so you kind of brought us to a focus there that I deeply appreciate. I would like to encourage us this week, this weekend, this morning, in the Lord. Our walk in the Lord with him, our communication with him, and in our service in his kingdom, as Brother Josh and Sister Audrey are going forth in service. But we all have our place of service. And so may we all be faithful. In one sense, the very fact that we're here is proof that we've all been sent. We are here with a mission. So may we all be faithful. We want to encourage us in that. But I also want to encourage us in communicating with each other and in building relationships with each other. The marriage relationship, the family relationship, and the relationships in the church family among the people of God. These relationships are different. They're very, very important to God. And I'm just going to mention them again. First, and above all other relationships, and actually the foundation for all other relationships, is our relationship with God. I mentioned it the other evening. I'll say it again. I've always liked the saying that it's not a religion. It's a relationship. God wants a relationship with his people. And so that is the foundation for all of these other relationships. But then there's also the marriage relationship. And that is such a special relationship. That's the relationship that represents Christ and the church. I've thought many times, when there's a divorce, is that representing Christ and the church? That's a very convicting thought to me. And that's a very motivating thought to me, to work on our marriage relationships so they're a beautiful manifestation of Christ and the church. From the husband, how much Christ loved the church. And from the wife, how she reverences and honors her Lord. It's beautiful. And it comes out in this relationship. I have wondered before, husbands, if your relationship and your calling is to love your wife like Christ loved the church, if your relationship with her was an accurate measuring stick of a relationship with God, how would your relationship with God be? And I would challenge the wives, your relationship with your husband, if it's anything close to your relationship with God himself, is your relationship with God prospering? Or is there more frustration there? Sometimes there is, than a fulfillment. So that's just a little challenging thought. But then there's also the relationship of parents and children. And the relationship of the church family of brothers and sisters and all in the Lord. And all of these relationships greatly affect each other. Usually, people who really struggle in a marriage relationship probably don't have a very sweet, flowing relationship with their children. And when the marriage relationship, the relationship with children, when the relationship with church, when they're all struggling, that soul is probably not prospering as it should with the Lord himself. I don't want to say that judgmentally, but I'm going to say that to challenge us, that I believe that we've seen a lot of truth in that. I want to tell us, men, that your relationship with your wife will affect your relationship with your children. And very soberingly, and I'm going to say very scripturally, God says that all of these relationships here on the earth greatly affect your relationship with him. That should get our attention. These relationships that we have here do affect our relationship with God himself. In Matthew, God says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, or in other words, God speaking to us, if you're coming to me to worship me, or if you're coming to me to serve me, or if you're trying to build a relationship with me, and on the way, you remember there that your brother has aught against thee, or in other words, you know that your relationship is not right with your brother or your sister. God says, just stop. Just stop right there. Don't even come to me yet. And I open myself up if I'm reading too much into this. But we want to believe God. God says, stop right there. Don't even come to me yet. And that's not rejection. God is not saying, don't come to me. God will not tell anyone that. But he's establishing priorities. He's just saying, stop right there. Leave there thy gift before the altar and don't come yet. You better make things right with that relationship, with your brother, with your child, with your wife. You better build that relationship first. I think that's what he's saying. Because he says, and then come and offer thy gift. The hands of the Lord are always open to come. But there are commandments that he's given. There are responsibilities that he's given. There are relationships that need to be built. Along with that scripture in Malachi says that the people came to the altar anyway. And just disregarded those relationships. And came to the altar anyway. And it says they came and they covered the altar with tears. And with weeping and crying out. And God says, I will not hear you. I will not accept your offering anymore. And the people said, why not? And God said, because your relationship with your wife is not right. Isn't that something? I marvel at that sometimes. And it's so easy for us because of our situation, because of who we are. We tend to ride over these verses and excuse ourselves and claim a very sweet relationship with the Lord. And the other relationships are struggling. And I want to be very, very gracious here because I know there are exceptions. And there are situations where we don't know what to do or where to turn or how to proceed. And our heart just breaks for these situations. not want to be discouraging or judgmental on any situation that is here that may be in that category. We want to encourage you. We want to share a few thoughts this evening just to encourage you on ways that you can, that will help you to build some of these relationships. I'm just going to tell you right up front here, I wasn't planning on sharing this message today, but it's good if we can be sensitive to discern the need, the cry, where the anointing is. And it just seems, I wasn't planning on bringing that message the other night either, just encouraging us in relationships and bringing to, an encouragement to each other. But it seems like that's what God laid in my heart. And I don't know you folks here. And so may God just be interpreting in your own heart. I'm not pointing my finger at anyone. We want to be an encouragement to these relationships because they hinder our relationship with the Lord himself. I've been amazed at that scripture in Malachi, which is covering the altar with tears and weeping and crying out, is often the very thing that we pray for. It sounds like revival. It's what we want. But God says, no. It'll never happen. We will not be accepted until these relationships are right. I wonder how many wives here would raise their hand. I'm not going to ask you, but if I asked you, how many wives here would long for, love a deeper, more meaningful relationship with your husband? I wonder how many hands would go in the air. I think there would be some. Husbands, there might be more than you would like to see. There might be one go up right beside you. I wonder how many youth are here this morning who would raise their hand if I asked you how many of you would desire a deeper, more meaningful, richer relationship with your father and your mother. I think there would be some hands go up if I asked how many people here would desire a deeper and more meaningful relationship with the Lord himself. I think everyone's hand would go up. I trust that it would. But God says, you are hindered in building a relationship with him when your relationships here on earth are not everything that they should be. And I use that word hindered because that's the word God uses in 1 Peter 3:7 when he says, the husbands, he said, husbands, love your wives. I'm just going to say it this way for the sake of the message. Build your relationship with your wife so that your prayers are not hindered. We can't afford to have hindered prayers. I'm sure we would all agree, and I don't know you folks here in Maine. I don't know your situations in life here. But I do know this. You can't afford to have your prayers hindered. And that's what God says so. Just stop. Lay your offering down. Lay down your gift. Build this relationship first, and then come. It's not a rejection. It's not saying you can't come. It's just giving you priorities. It's giving you an order. So may God stir in our hearts that we can be faithful in whatever thing. So how can we build these relationships? I think we need to learn how to turn our hearts toward each other. That's a scriptural term. You read it in Malachi, the last verse of the New Testament. The fathers, that Elias would come, Elijah would come, and Jesus explained that that's John the Baptist is talking about. He said that John the Baptist will turn the heart of the fathers to the children and turn the heart of the children to the fathers. That's a beautiful phrase. I think that's one thing that John may have had in mind when he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. There's a turning. And turning means you're a little different direction here. You're not going to get there. There's a turning. Something hasn't been directly towards each other. And I think we need to learn how to turn our hearts to each other. We want to talk about that in a little bit. And how to have the love of Christ rule in our hearts as we turn. We want to have the love of Christ in our hearts. There's really no other way to build a relationship. God's love is an unfailing love. That's how we need to build our relationships. God's love is a gentle love. His love is an understanding love. His love is a safe love. His love is a patient love. His love draws us out. I want to say something about drawing. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but the difference between pushing something and pulling something. Pulling is drawing. Gravity is pulling. It's pulling towards you. And I just want you to think about a pickup and trailer for just a minute. If you hook up that trailer to the front of the truck and put that trailer in front of you and try to push it down the highway, you say, I can't do it. It was anywhere. You can't spin the thing. But you put that trailer behind the pickup and just hook it up there at the back. You can go down the highway 70 miles an hour and just almost forget about the trailer. That is the beauty of drawing. Now, I want to give that to you as an insight on how to build a relationship. We need to draw each other out. Many times we are a little pushy. Saying, look, you need to straighten up. That's push. And there's a time for that. There's a time when that is the conclusion. But that's not the uncondemning love of God that draws them out. You need to get on the same level that they are. We need the love of Christ that draws. God has gravity. He draws. He doesn't push anyone. And we need to keep that concept in mind. As we endeavor to build our relationships, it is so important that we have God's love, that the love within us, that the love between us would be God's love, the love of God, His love, not man's love. That's too small. That's too conditional. That's too touchy. That's too easily damaged. That's why many relationships go to pieces, because it's just management. We need to make sure we have God's love in our heart. Families and churches fall apart when that's all we've got, this man's love. John says that herein is love. Herein is not that we love God. We're not going to measure it by our love. But that God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. There it is. That's the love that we need to have in our hearts to build these relationships. It's the why we were yet sinners. Love. But love us anyway. That great love that moved the heart of God toward us, that same love would move in our hearts towards each other. Don't we want this kind of moving of God within our relationships? That's why we need to have the love of God within us. And I just want to tell you this morning, it's the prayer of Christ that we would have it. In John 17, the high priestly prayer, Jesus prayed there right at the end of the chapter. And I think he just lifted up his arms and his eyes to heaven and he prayed, "Oh, righteous Father." And then he prayed some and then he prayed that the lie. Wherewith thou hast loved me, that love, that same love. Just think for a minute about the love that God loved his son with. Well, maybe in them, and I in them. Think of that. That same love that God loved his son, that God loved us, would be in us. And we can have that love to build our relationships. That's a motivator, I believe, for me. And that that love would be in us. And when that love, that same love is in us, the love of God inside of us, I just want to tell you, it doesn't shrink one bit because it's in us. It's in us, but it's the unshrinkable love of God within us. Would that help? Not relationships. I know that it would. It is a relationship failure. And we need to have it. We want to be motivated by that love. We want to be driven by it. There it was. What did Paul say? Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. What does that mean? That means he couldn't get away from it. The love of God was so great upon Paul that he was drawn to it like a magnet. And it's our desire, men here, husbands here today, that your love for your wife would constrain her. She would have to respond to it. That's what the love of God does. Fathers, that the love of Christ would be in you, that it would constrain your daughter. It would constrain your children to be drawn to you. We do not want to be driven by, I know I'm right. We don't want to be driven by the wrongs and things we can. And I say again, we can come to that conclusion, but if that's the first conclusion, if the second conclusion, it's probably not going to build a relationship. And so I'm challenging us. May the Lord be with us as we challenge each other here. But in our relationships with this great love, we need to learn to communicate. And I want to tell you, communication is more than just talking. Because in English, at least the root word for communication, you know what it is? It's to commune. And to commune is so much more than just spiritual talk. It's so much more than doctrine. It's so much more than theology. And yes, it is that, but it's so much more than that. Communion is fellowship. It's koinonia. It's like this. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. We sing that. Well, how about applying it to our marriages? Nothing between me and my son. Me and my wife. Nothing between. No inroads where the enemy can separate. That's what the love of Christ, I believe, can do. That's what I want to encourage us in. Communication is more than talking. It's connecting. It's connecting in spirit, in emotion, in words, and in heart. It is truly fellowship. There's so many, and we've seen so many relationships that were trying, Communication is connecting. Communication is doing whatever it takes to connect. And the love of God can do that. I believe. I want you to think about for just a minute God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, about the great disconnect between God and man, between the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. I mean, how wide the gulf, how wide? Amen? I mean, there's no connection between the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. It just doesn't come to me. We're just an outcast. Once we lay, we sing sometimes. Well, I want to challenge us. What was God, the Lord Jesus, willing to do to make this connection? To make us sons of God? How did that happen? To bring us into fellowship. To bring us into communion. He could have written us off as irreconcilable differences. Right? That's the difference between God and man. It's irreconcilable differences. And I want to challenge that because I heard one time about all the divorces. There's a lot of them around now. But in the courthouses of the land, the most common reason that is given for divorce is irreconcilable differences. They just couldn't work it out. It's irreconcilable differences. And I want you to know this morning that that is not a scriptural term. Irreconcilable differences you will not find in the scriptures. What will you find? You will find the ministry of reconciliation. And we've been called to it. And it works. We need to put our faith in it. But don't try it with man's love. Make sure we have the love of God in our hearts, that we are motivated by it, that we are driven by it. Seeking God in this great irreconcilable differences. At that point, what lengths was he willing to go? Cost was he willing to pay? How much of himself was he willing to sacrifice? To what depth was he willing to come to connect with us? I know that all of us bow in reverence and in worship at what God has done for us to become the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And the world needs to be what manner of love godly husbands bestow upon their wives, that they can have a beautiful relationship. Christ in the church. Communication is doing whatever it takes in talk, in time, in sacrifice, and in love to connect. And communication is also doing whatever it takes to stay connected. Now, one thing we cannot do, and we see this happen quite often, and I want to tell you youth about this, and I want to tell you fathers about this, because we see it happen, and it's not good. We cannot do this. When we want to make this connection with our children so bad, we want their hearts so bad, that we're willing to sacrifice some on the principles of God. Get it? We're willing to compromise some so that we can get it. Youth, you have power to put so much pressure on your parents as they desire so greatly to have your heart, to have this connection. But you can't come to where they are. And so, no, we can't do that. It's called following your children. And I just want to remind you, that is not what God did when he reconciled man. He didn't sacrifice on the principles of God. and compromise on anything. But he gave his all. And so, men, we've got a big job, don't we? Cannot compromise on the principles of God. But we need to win the hearts of our children. We need to win the hearts of our wives. We've got a big job, fathers, husbands, pastors, sisters, mothers, wives, children, youth. It takes all of us. We all have our part to play in communication, to stay connected with God, with the principles of God's word, and to connect with each other. Now, I'm going to just give us a couple encouragements here, I guess I'll call them, in communication. One of them is you need to be willing to talk. And the only way I know to talk is to take time. Not rushed time, but you need to be willing to talk. You need to be able to express in words what you feel, your opinions, your feelings. You need to have liberty to say what you need to say. And everything that you want to say, you need to have liberty to talk. Talking is a very big, important part of communication. Very big. Probably impossible to communicate without it. People who can't talk or who won't talk will probably never communicate. You'll probably never build a relationship if you can't talk. And some people can't talk. They've been hurt too bad. They've been suppressed too long. They've been condemned. They've been put down. They've been misunderstood. Maybe there's sin in their life. Maybe they tried to talk one time and it didn't go well. And they're not going to do it again. I think I'm going to stop here and just tell you what happened in Missouri. We were going out there to help a little church. And there was a brother out there and the marriage relationship was struggling. The relationship with the children was struggling. He had older youth and it was going backwards. It was going bad, and he quit coming out to church. He stopped coming to brother's meeting. He wouldn't come to communion. It was something wrong. And the brothers there went to him and asked him and encouraged him, "What is it?" And he wouldn't talk. He couldn't talk. Well, he made some agreements. If they would do some certain things, then he would talk. And so those things were met. And we was there. We were there. We were at that place with this dear brother. And we listened to him, and he shared his heart. And as it came out, it just seemed like everything wasn't coming out. And I want to encourage you, when you're trying to build a relationship, when you're trying to help someone, everything needs to come out. And I'll talk more about that a little bit later, but I could tell it wasn't coming out. And I said, "Brother, it seems like something isn't coming out. Are you living something bad? Is there something that's heavy on your heart and it's not coming out?" Well, he didn't think so. And so we told him. We said, "Brother, is there sin in your life? Is your life poor?" I said to him, "We are not accusing you of sin. God knows. Best, we see through a glass darkly. But I've seen enough situations where there was sin and it just looked like this." I said, "Could you give me liberty to ask? Are you clean and pure and white before a holy God?" And he said, well, he didn't say anything. He said, "Yes, there is something, but I can't tell you what it is." And I want to tell you something in building relationships and working with people. Someone who will not talk, they will not talk. And they will never talk until they have a witness in their heart that this is a safe place to talk. That is a foundation to get someone talking. And so I was just kind of examining my own heart.
I didn't know I was coming. I was half scared to hear about it.
But am I a safe place? Can I handle this? We tried to assure him that we loved him, that this was a safe place, and that this was a good formula to get free. And so he came out with it, and it was ugly. It's very ugly. And the more he talked, the more I could tell everything was coming out. It all came. We call it spilling the bucket sometimes, but it all came. And I didn't. You know what? I wish you all could have been there. I wish you all could have seen that. That's something to experience. When a man just opened his heart and let everything out, and he gets convicted of sin, and he begins to weep, and he begins to cry out, and he begins to confess his sin, and he doesn't spare any pinches, he just calls it sin. It's beautiful. And we wanted to be a safe place for our brother. And when he began to talk, I asked him, I said, brother, would you be willing for us to have a brother's meeting? And would you be willing to share what you have shared with us in the confidence of the brothers that we can make it a safe place? I said, I think we need this. Are you willing? And he said, yes, he was willing. And so we did that. And I just want to tell you the results of that. When he shared his heart, when he got on his knees and he prayed to God, and he prayed this prayer, he said, Lord, I just want to be warm as snow again. And the brothers were gathering around, and there were brothers there that he was at odds with. The relationships were not flowing at all. And all of the odds, all of the accusations disappeared. They were gone. You couldn't find anyone. There was one brother that I think was probably the most at odds with. When he began to cry and to confess, was the first brother out of his chair over there embracing him. It's beautiful. And every building of relationships is not going to be that dramatic. But it has some principles in it we need to be aware of. You need to be a safe place for people to talk. You need to be able to draw them out, not push them. Gravity, the drawing of God, draw them out. People get bound with hurts. They get bound with past wounds and whatever. And these people need to be drawn out by love, and it needs to be the love of God, the uncondemning love of God. And remember, that's what we have within us. The love of God can do that. The love of God can draw a person out. So we need to talk. We need to be able to express. I want to give you a couple points here that I think are very, very important. You need to be willing to express your heart, willing to share all of your heart. And you need to know this. It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. Some people don't talk because they're afraid they'll be wrong. You've got to talk. You've got to bring it out. Whether it's right, whether it's wrong, whether it's off balance or bias or out of left field, whether it's just your opinion or emotions or feelings or hurts, you need to bring that out. That is crucial to building a relationship. And the reason it's crucial is because if it doesn't come out, then it stays inside. And when something stays inside, it just dies. and it never gets dealt with. My wife tells me, she said, Dale, if you are willing to take the responsibility of my life, before God, you have the responsibility for me. If I look to you, then you have to know everything that's in my heart. Because I don't know if everything's right or not. It's in there. And then she looked at me and she said,
I'm ready to be taught.
So we talked. And it's amazing. In a relationship, when someone begins to talk, much of what comes out is against you.
It's grievances against me. I said, man.
And then I realized that has to come out. Everything has to come out. She has to be able to spill a bucket. And when you spill your bucket, sometimes it doesn't always come out right. It doesn't come out sanctified. But I want to tell you this morning, it always comes out accurate. That is exactly what's in your heart. And you need to know what is in her heart. You can't react to that thing. You've got to listen carefully. You've got to be a good listener and just drink it in. And then take it before the Lord and say, now I know what I'm dealing with. You can be, instead of reacting at some negative things against you, whether it's your son or your daughter or your wife or your mother or the Lord, the violence is against you, you can be thankful that they're coming out because now you know what to do, what you're dealing with. So many relationships are estranged that they don't even know what they're dealing with. And I'm just going to tell you, it has to come out. And sometimes when it comes out, it's kind of ugly. But it's always accurate. If it doesn't come out, it just stays inside and boils. I'm challenging you. I like to say it this way. I'm encouraging you to do this. It will bless your walk with God. It will increase your joy in the Lord. Many parents say that my children won't talk. My children don't talk. What do you do about that, Brother Dale? My children just don't. I want to tell you something. Oh, yes, they do. They're probably talking right now to someone. They're dying to have someone to talk to. They're just not talking to you. That's the relationship that you need to build. That's the relationship where you need to become the safe place so that they can talk to you. And so many times, I guess I'll throw this in here, a wife is hurting. And she goes and finds a sister to talk to. And there's a place for that. I can bless that. But I'm just going to tell you, that wife will never build her relationship with her husband by talking to a sister. You have to talk to your husband. You have to build that specific relationship. There are youth that go talk to other youth. And you will never build your relationship with your father that way. It's not possible. It'll probably damage it even more. Because the youth you talk to, which one has a father, and I know exactly what you mean. Me too! And it's just, you kind of feed each other. If you want to build a relationship, if you want to open the road for God to move in your life, go and talk to the person you need to talk to. A hundred and one ways to win the heart of your husband. a book written for women, 101 ways to win the heart of your husband. I would suggest that you go read that book. I would suggest that you get a paper and list it 1 through 101 and give it to your husband. And tell him, fill this in. I want to build my relationship with you. I don't know about some lady out there. She's going to have some insights. There will be some good things in that book. Well, I'm just telling you, if you take that paper and give it to your husband, that's going to blow up his mind. But you know what? My wife did that to me one time, and it wasn't 101 ways, but she came to me to get direction. And it got my attention. All of a sudden, I realized, hey, I need to be faithful here. I can't just write all my wants and little fickle desires down here on this sheet of paper. And when you look at her, selfish. We need to live for each other. We need to build those relationships with each other. And I tell you, it works with your brother. It works in every capacity. I remember a fresh start out in Indiana. I heard a story from out there, and I didn't know what to do with that story. So I actually went to fresh start, and I asked the leader there, I said, I'm good about this story. Is this really true? I call it the 11-month man. This man went there. His wife and him were completely wrong. He said, I'd like to go to a fresh start. She said, go ahead and go. Just make it a one-way ticket. I mean, it was the end of that relationship. She was gone. And he went to fresh start. And somewhere in the process of that counseling, he got the burden to win the heart of his wife. He realized, I'm not going to win the heart of my wife here in fresh start. I'm going to have to go back to my wife. I have to go to her. It's the relationship I need to build. And so he went back to her, and she was running in. She was going to come back. And so the house next door was for rent. And he rented it. And he was there. And he told his wife, he said, I won't bother you.
I just want to be close. You were the most precious thing to me. I just want to be close.
And he said to her a couple days later, he said, I won't bother you. But he said, I just want to know if it's okay if I mow the lawn for you.
Well, she let him do it.
A few days later, he said, I noticed the faucet was leaking. And I'm not going to bother you.
I'm doing anything you don't want me to do. But would you let me fix the faucet?
And he fixed the leak. And for 11 months, he lived in that neighboring house. And there was a day when it rained hard. Children were tracking mud in the house. He already asked his wife, he said, I won't be in here long, but would you mind if I would clean the carpets and shampoo the carpets? I know they're a mess. And she let him do it. And then there came a day, he knew his wife loved cappuccino coffee, some kind of cappuccino. I'm not a coffee person, but, and he hated the stuff. He could not stand the stuff. A little like me. And he went and got some cappuccino for her to drink and for him. He sat down and they drank this coffee together. And 11 months later, her heart broke. She said, what is going on? I can't fight this anymore. I've never felt such love. I've never felt so special. I've never felt so ministered to. And I heard about that story and I went to fresh start and I said, is this true? This is a true story. I need to know. I like it. And he said, yes, it is a true story. And I said, how's it going for them now? And he said, they have their challenges.
They have their struggles. But he said, they're making it. And they're going to make it. And when you have the love of God within you like that, you will make it. Have you gone after your brother in the church that you're at odds with that way? Have you gone after your wife that way? Maybe you're not even at odds with your wife. Big deal. Go after her that way anyhow. Have you gone after your children that way? I mean, with those principles. I don't mean renting the house next door. I mean with that kind of love. It works. I want to encourage us, when we have the love of God within us, when we have that unconditional, unfailing, patient, persistent love, you work. There comes a point where, like that dear lady, she couldn't fight it anymore. She never felt this kind of love. She wanted to give into it with all of her heart. And I encourage us to do the same. You need to talk. You need to be a good listener. You know, you can't interrupt when someone is talking. If you draw your child out and they start to talk and they say something really wrong, don't stop them. Don't interrupt them. To straighten them out. Interrupters are not good listeners. You need to be a good listener. You need to. Oh my, it's 12 o'clock. I got some more things I'm going to share here. You need to be a good listener. I want to say this. When two people are both willing to talk, when they are both willing to share everything that's in their heart, and when they're both good listeners, when they both do not interrupt, when they both are not offended when it's against them, they are listening carefully. Two people here, both willing to talk, both willing to listen. I tell you, there's not much that they can't work through. And I want to encourage us, fathers, get on the level of your children. Get on the same level that they are. You know, there was a time when we were up there in New York at the St. Lawrence Freeway at the line into Canada. Bam, there was locks and ships going through the locks. And we were taken up there and we were kind of observing there. And there was a huge ship, powerful ship, loaded with cargo, comes in and wants to go up the river. And he comes in from the lock, and the locks were 700 feet long and about 100 feet wide. And this ship was just going so carefully and so slow into those locks. And when he got in there, and they shut the gates behind him, it was fixed. He went into the other, and there was 1 foot on each side of the lock. The ship filled it up. He was going through the lock and began to raise the water level. And up that ship comes very slowly to the level of the water's head so that that ship could proceed carefully. And I want to encourage us as fathers. I stood there looking at that great ship going through the locks, and it's like a train button. To go through the lock to get on the level of my son. I just tell you, I had a son that left home when he was 15. That was my fault. I didn't grow on his level. I don't try to hide it. I don't know if you know it. But we need to get on the level. They need to know that we're not looking down on them. They need to know that we're interested on them at their level. That great ship that was in the locks, I tell you, it had tremendous power. It didn't have to ease its way so carefully and slowly into the locks. It had enough power to ram. Well, that's it. It had enough power to ram and break the dam and drain the reservoir. but it wanted to go forward. I'm going to say, and build a relationship at a new level. I'm going to encourage us as men, don't skip the law. They are made for you. It is what Jesus Christ did for us. When he came to earth, if there's ever anybody that went through the locks to get on a different level, to go forward and reach someone, it was Jesus Christ. I mean, he didn't really go through the locks, so to speak, but he entered into a mother's womb. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Glory, entering into a mother's womb. I mean, he didn't have room to work. It's like a chip. And he was born of a woman so that he could get on our level to minister to us. Dads, husbands, can you do that? If you have the love of Christ in you, you can do that. May God give us grace to do that. And we need to learn how to turn our hearts toward each other. I'm just going to give an illustration or two here, and then I'm going to close. My wife likes to read old magazines, and she had an old Reader's Digest, and there was a story in there that she read, and I'm going to tell you what it said. So there was a couple in there, and they were struggling, and their marriage wasn't going well. They kind of loved each other, but they were pretty irritated also with each other, and they didn't know what to do to work the thing out. They didn't have the love of Christ. They didn't have everything you need that we've been talking about here. And so, just on a whim, one of them said, well, maybe they should separate. And they didn't want to separate, but they thought maybe they should, because they just seemed like they couldn't get along. And so they agreed that they would plant a tree out in the front yard. They'd plant a tree out there, and if the tree lived, they'd stay together, and if it died, they'd separate. So they got a tree, and they planted it out there in the front yard. That's the story, the way I remember it. And the husband got to thinking, he really did kind of like his wife. She really was a sweet person. And so on one day, when she was going to town, he gets a bucket of water. He's right there. He puts it right under that tree. He waters the tree. He thought his wife was out of town, but she was in the bedroom. She was looking out the window, and she saw him. And when she saw her husband go out there very carefully and tenderly pour that water on that tree, something happened in her heart. I'm just going to tell you, it began to turn towards her husband. And it put in her a desire that that tree would grow. And so on a day when her husband was in town getting some parts, she gets a bucket and some fertilizer. She goes out there and she tends to the tree. And she waters the tree. She thought her husband was out of town, but he wasn't. He was in the shop, running out the water. And he stood there, and he saw his wife. He saw her heart in that bucket. He saw the motives of her heart watering that tree. And his heart just began to turn back to his wife as her heart turned. We need to learn how to turn our hearts toward each other. I said the other night, we sang that song at our wedding. We are one in the bond of love. We are two serving God above. We are three with Jesus. We are four each other. It's beautiful. That's what it means to turn your heart toward someone. We are four each other. We are here to serve each other. We are here to sacrifice for each other. And I'm just going to tell you, it works. The love of God works. And sometimes it takes time. That 11-month man, for several months, he didn't get anything in return. All he got was cold shoulder. But he kept on, because that's what the love of God does.
And what a witness that will bring to the kingdom of God. We are living in a world that is starving for the witness that a man can win the heart of his wife. He doesn't need to get divorced. He can win the heart of his children. We're in a day and age where a world around us is starving to have this kind of witness. And I need to say this, but we're living in a day and age where the kingdom of God is starving to see and experience this kind of thing. A witness. God is at work among his people. And when these relationships are built before a holy God, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, just the foundation is there to go forward. Isn't that what we want? That is the desire of our heart. For a beacon of light here. I'm going to close. I just want to say, it's such a joy to be here. I was so blessed to see you youth clear countenances right up front. Fathers, what a blessing that you have. And I just want to bless you and encourage you. Press on. And where there's challenges, let the love of God deal with that thing in your heart. And it will work. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this encouragement. I needed it. I just want to pray. So we'll pray right now, Father, for my own son out in Idaho. I'm sorry, God. I remember how much I loved him when I held that little fella. Thank you for what you've done, what you've restored in that relationship that the locusts have eaten. Father, there's higher ground. And if there's any similar situation here, Father, give us courage. Give us strength. It's like we said when we came here. We didn't come here strong. We came here needy. We came here weak. We come here small. We come here crying out, oh God, that you would move in our behalf. We rejoice. We long so much to see your mighty hand moving in our life, in our relationship, in our midst. I just long to, there's nothing else to say, but God has moved, and he has used us, and his plan works. Oh God, we pray that we would be faithful stewards in the relationships that you have given us to bless. We pray that you would bless the marriages, that you would bless families, and that you would bless this church fellowship, and that a witness would go forth from this place, that this is a safe place to be. And may it bring glory to your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll turn it over to...